I want to go back to Acts 28, and I'd like to look at verse 16 again, because there was quite a good bit there, and we wound up at verse 17, and verse 17 starts off with the two meetings that Paul had when he got to when he got to Italy. And so there's a little bit of additional information that is given in the Companion Bible that we probably need to go over again, because this was something that Paul it kind of unexpectedly came upon him, because I don't think he was really expecting what happened. But nevertheless, it did, and it has. And of course, Paul, in the last few verses that we went through before, he was in this island where he healed everybody. And he was in the island where he got snake bit, where the shipwreck was. And we think that was a coral snake, probably. And these men looked at Paul and looked at the snake when it came out of the sticks. And it bit Paul on the hand. And this is so venomous, the snake is so venomous, till it isn't long till just a few minutes till people start having problems bad. And so this is something that when people see it and they see somebody get bit, they say, oh, he's done. He's at it. Yep. Well, they sat there a little while and nothing happened. And they said, well, they had already said among themselves, well, maybe he was a murderer anyway, and he's getting his just rewards. And then when he didn't die, they looked around at each other and kind of scratched their head, I think, and said, well, he must be a god. Well, if you think back to his first trip, when he met these people, and him and Barnabas, and I think maybe John Mark might have left by that time. I'm not sure. But it was kind of in the same area of the where the shipwreck was. It wasn't too far away from that where Paul was stoned to death at Derby. But God brought him back because he wasn't finished with him. And so we get down to verse 16 here. And we talked about a little bit about these two addresses. The first meeting and the second meeting with the Jews that was called when Paul got put into his own hired house, they call it, a place where he was going to stay for a little while. And I think he thought he was going to get right through this thing and go on, but as it is with Paul, things don't happen that way sometimes. And so he wound up being there for two whole years more. But he was given, I think he was given some freedoms that he didn't expect he was going to get to, and that's another thing. But I put in my notes additional knowledge. And I'm going to read you verse 16, and then we'll get to 17, because that's where the first meeting starts. But 16 has quite a lot of conditional knowledge here that we need to think about as we look into this. And it said, and when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, full stop. But Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. So, all of a sudden, here's something that's very different. And I don't think Paul was looking for this. But you got to think back now as to what has happened over the last few days and to realize that maybe those in Caesar's guard had heard some of this stuff. Maybe this guy's a little different from everybody else they have ever dealt with in their lifetime. Think about that. He is a chosen vessel of the high God of this universe, this world. And he's the spokesman for Christ here. He said, and when we came to Rome, the city, the centurion, the head of the attachment to deliver prisoners, delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, full stop. The purpose was fulfilled, but perhaps not the way that Paul expected. Even the Greek words for these men were altered, who saw Paul as someone who could cause a change to things usually seen as normal. We're not dealing with a normal guy here. Some words helps. Here, centurion, for example, is a Roman with a rank of 100 men under him, generally called a band. A man of this rank would be, in the Greek language, in the Greek, it is hekatantar chis. And that equals to be a captain. That would equal a captain when more than one centurion was there, and then it would be in the Greek hekatantar chos, not chis, but chos. The end of that word changed a little bit, and it is equal to a chief, maybe not a captain, but a chief. So in these circumstances and these things as they're going on here, we see things are being spoken of as a little bit more uppity-up than it normally would have been. A captain of the guard in the Greek is stratopede archis. Probably what would be our 4-star general that would, and of course now this guard here, he would be over Caesar's agendas, because Caesar would only take care of things as he saw fit. So you got somebody that's like he's the head leader, and everybody else follows the orders. And Paul was permitted or suffered, and that Greek word is epitripo, or given license to dwell. And that dwell there in the Greek is the word meno, by himself. Literally, with a guard, a soldier that kept him. He was chained by the wrist to the prisoner. And Paul speaks of this chain in verse 20 of 28 here. Also in Ephesians and 6:20 and Philippians 1:7, 1:13, 1:14, and 1:16, Colossians 4:8, and Philemon, two places, verse 10 and verse 13. And so, we see here that that Paul wasn't just thrown in a normal prison. Why is that? Well, I think Caesar still does not know what really the charge, to make a charge with Paul is. He just doesn't know.
They may also not be real sure as to whether they can even keep him in prison or not with the power he has.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that
would be my concern.
Yeah,
guys gonna walk out of here.
That is a concern that, well, we got somebody here that just, man, we don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, we're gonna have two meetings. The first meeting, the Paul and the Jews in Rome, two addresses. And the first one is verses 17 through 22. And the second meeting is from 22 or 23 through 28. And so we're going to deal with the first meeting first, as we should. And we'll see how far we get in the second meeting, because we're almost ready to close the book. Basically, on the Acts of the Apostles. But let me read you verse 17, because it's full of what we might call continual knowledge also. And verse 17 goes on in the King James, and it says, "And it came to pass." Oh, we've seen that over and over in Scripture. In the Old Testament and the New. Down through the years, it says, "And after 3 days, Paul called to the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them," okay, we got that picture. And what does he say? So what he says to them is this: "Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or the customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans." So he wants them to know right straight off that he has been delivered. And the delivery is for a reason. And the reason is to go before the supposedly most powerful person on earth at that time. And I say supposedly. Because here is somebody that I'm not really sure that they really know what they've gotten involved in. And let's just go back and look at it. It says, "And it came to pass that after 3 days," so they give Paul 3 days to get his ducks in order, and also to start gathering the Jews up they were in Rome, and they were a lot of Jews in Rome at that time. Okay, and you know, so the word got sent out. We're gonna have a meeting here. And he said, and when they, he called first the head of the Jews together, full stop. So, and when they were come together, he said unto, and that is the unto there in the Greek is the word pros, P-R-O-S, appendage 104, 15, number 3. And when they were come together, he said unto them, men and brethren, though I had committed nothing, and nothing there is udeus, udeus, against the people. And there, the people in the Greek there is laos, or customs. He committed nothing against the people or the customs of our fathers. Literally, the ancestral customs of our father. And our father there is the word in the Greek, it's patrus. And that's found in Acts 22:3 on page 1639, if you want to look it up sometimes. He said, yet I was of our fathers, I was delivered a prisoner from Jerusalem out of or ek. Whenever you're delivered out, generally that word is ek, E-K in the Greek. Like ek anastasis. That's what Paul wanted to be when he had passed away. He wanted an out resurrection. And he made that quite clear early on in these last epistles. Okay? And then we get to verse 18. It says, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go because there was no cause of death in me. Now, you remember that Paul was before, he stayed with Felix, and then he stayed with Festus, and then along came King Agrippa and Bernice, Agrippa's wife. I guess you could call her his wife, but by hook or crook, they were together anyway, ever which way you want to look at it. But and none of them knew what to write to Caesar to get to give Caesar any information much on them, because they didn't know. And you would think that Agrippa had a kind of a good handhold on this thing, but he looked at it this way. Well, he's took it out of my hands. So, therefore, I'm going to let it, you know, proceed in that direction, because this is the direction that Paul has took. And I think King Agrippa was smart enough to know who Paul was hooked into. And so therefore, I don't think he either, even though he didn't see nothing against Paul, it would cause him to be put to death, but He didn't want to get involved in that. That was like when they accused Christ over there at the Bema seat. You know, the guy that was in charge of that, you know, his wife told him, said, "You best not get involved with this. Now, this is something beyond us." But that's the reason the guy, and I can't remember his name right now or what they called him.
The king that judged Christ was
no,
Herod.
Pilate. Yeah, it was Pilate. And his wife told him, said, "You best not get involved in this." But he basically did anyway. And so he went and asked him, said, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And the answer that Christ gave was, "Thou sayest I am." Because he never did tell them that he was king of the Jews. Because to them it wasn't none of their business. He come for his own. They wasn't part of his own.
Yeah.
Okay, it says, "Who the centurion," verse 18, "when they had examined," and the word "examined" there is the medical term, and you got to remember, this is still Luke that's doing the writing here, so you still get some of these medical terms along with you as you go along. And in the Greek, it was anacharino, appendage 122:2. So they examined me, and would have, or were wishing to. And wishing to there is bulomea, and that is App 102-3. They were wishing to let me go because there was no meendes in the Greek, no cause. In the Greek, it is aitia. And that would, if you want to look that up, that is comes from Acts 25:27. Because there was no cause of death in me. And Paul brings this up. "So the guard with this chain may relate this story to Caesar." Because that's what the chain, that's what the guard is there for. They still looking for something that they can get out of this or get away from this without really causing some kind of great disaster. And I put in my notes, "Paul is such a good lawyer. It's really not to miss the chance for his case." That's the Apostle Paul. He was always thinking ahead. He had that perception that you can see over and over and over and over again. His perception was such, it's kind of like a chess match. He is so far ahead of the others until it was kind of like, you know, playing games with somebody that knew everything. Like Carl Hinson, you know, he got a game of Trivial Pursuit. There was no point in playing with Carl. it was a waste of time. He wasn't going to get anywhere. Because he could remember everything that he had ever read. And so this was, I think this was pretty much Paul's situation. I think he hasn't been given the honor that he really truly deserves and needs. Because, man, he had his case down here, even in the first get-go of this thing. Verse 19. It said, "But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar. Not that I had ought to accuse my nation of." So, this, as his case goes on, it keeps growing. When the Jews spake against it, and against there is anti-litgo. I was constrained. And constrained there is anti-nikazeo. This is the only occurrence in Acts is where this word is brought up. Paul says, "I was constrained," meaning he did something that he knew he shouldn't do, but that seemed to be the only way out. Sometimes we get in these situations and we look for the way out, but the door's not always there. And to go on, so I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar. And to appeal there is epi melito mei. I was constrained, not that I was had ought to accuse. And that's kata ego rio. We find that in Acts 22:30. Not that I was ought to accuse my nation of. And that, the nation there in the Greek is ethnos. So, he said, he did it because he really didn't want to accuse his nation of anything. He wanted to be free from a charge like that. And he says in verse 20, "For this cause, therefore, I have called for you to see you and to speak with you," full stop, "because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain." And I'm sure he held it up for them all to see that.
Yeah, and for me, that makes Acts 13 as a possibility of where the church began preposterous. Yeah. Now that one verse to me does away with it.
Yep. "For this cause, therefore." Well, a cause is something else, but therefore is something else too. I always have said, since I got involved in studying scripture, Therefore is always there for a reason. I'm going to read it. The therefore here, I think, was Paul's wish to remind you once and again to just take time to stop, look, and listen. Because you're about to learn something here. I have called you and the word call is parakaleo omei to see you. Now, certainly he wants to see them because they're the ones that's been after him for a good long time. And it took vows to kill him. It took vows that he wouldn't do this, he wouldn't do that, he wouldn't do the other. That never did work. He said, to see you and to speak with you, full stop. Well, there's two full stops here in this verse of Scripture. And this is plosaleo. Because that for, and the Greek word here, for, is the word henikin, and I've never seen that in Scripture before. So this is something very unusual. A henikin is something that you need to stop and think about. And it's the chain for the hope of Israel. I, Paul, am bound with this chain. It is the Messiah whom Israel hoped for also.
The hope of Israel at this time, according to Paul, was the better resurrection.
Yeah.
That we see in Hebrews 11.
That the bound there is perikalemai. And then we get to verse 21. Here is an answer. And they said unto him, Paul, we neither receive letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any other brethren that came, showed, or spoke any harm of thee. Well, I'm not sure that was the truth.
Yeah.
Because they had done many things. To get Paul. Everywhere he went, everything he done. And so what they were saying to Paul is this. We neither, in the Greek is uti, receive letters. And here, the Greek grammar equals a letter of the alphabet in plural writings. This in Galatians 6:11. are the only places where it is used of as an epistle. The usual word being in the Greek, eriston. Eristone, out of Judea, concerning the word in concerning there is the word periapaleha. I have neither any of the brethren that came showed or reported in the Greek epa in Elio spake Leleo any harm, and harm there is everything evil. The Greek word for that is ponderos of thee. So they kind of doctored up, in my view, of what they had said to make it sound real good here. In verse 22, it says, but we desire to hear of thee what thee thinkest. Full stop. Okay. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. So they're telling on themselves right here. They have not accepted the Savior. They have not accepted this one that Paul teaches. And they call it a sect. And so this kind of goes a shot across the bow to them. But we desire, or think it's right, axiou, right. That's Acts 15:33. To hear of or from thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, and the Greek word for that is heresis. Heresis. Isis. Heresis. We know that it is known. Enostos. Everywhere it is spoken against. So this was what had happened in the first meeting. So they had Paul to speak, and then they spoke back to Paul with their rebuttal, if you want to call it that. If this was a trial, it would be a rebuttal as what they said. And this meeting that we're going to go through in verse 23 now, from 23 to 29, is a second meeting. Because in verse 23 it says this, and when they had appointed him a day, there came many into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. So they broke up this first little meeting and went off, and then they came back. It says in 23, and they appointed him a day, the second meeting. And when the Jews had appointed Paul, him arranged. That word arranged there in the Greek is tasso. They arranged him a day. And there came many. So the many here gives you the understanding that they weren't that many in the first meeting. So evidently, something had taken place that more of the people wanted to hear than the first ones heard. And so this kind of creates a situation here. Well, maybe we're getting somewhere, but the many unto his lodgings, and that word is the Greek xena, only here, in Philemon 22 is it used, and it said, to whom he expounded. Epitissima. Expounded. Acts 7:21. And testified. And testified in the Greek is diamartyromai. And this is the ninth and the last occurrence that the word testified is used in the book of Acts. Of all the long things that happened in the book of Acts, this was the ninth. They wound up with the diamartyromai. And it says, and testified the kingdom of God. The Messiah kingdom was the subject. The mention of the Lord Jesus and the law of Moses and also the prophets established this.
See, well, what else did he really have to preach from?
Yeah. See Appendix 114. Persuading. In the word, the Greek is pitho. Appendix 150. 1 and 2. Concerning Jesus. Appendix 98:10. Both out of the law of Moses. And this is the 19th occurrence in the Epistle of Acts that they talk about the law of Moses. And out of the prophets, Appendix 189, from the word Greek apo, and that ap is 104:4, morning till Heos or Neos. No, it's Heos. Till Heos, evening. The Greek is Hespera. That's found in Acts 4:3. So, this was the subject of the beginning of the second meeting, verse 23. Then we get to verse 24. I didn't think we'd get to finish it. But here's how this thing played out. And some believers, and some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. Well, what's so very different about that?
Not much.
Not anything that I can see.
Same thing when the Lord...
The same old group. The same things are being said. The same things are being talked about. Nothing's being changed. And some believed or were persuaded of. And that, again, that Greek is piatho. Out of verse 23, the things which were spoken, and some believed not. Or, literally, disbelieving. And disbelieving there is the word in the Greek, apisteu. In verse 25, and when... they were agreed not among themselves, they departed. Well, that's not all of verse 25. Because the rest of it gives you another kind of a story. Because it says, after that Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Esaias the prophets unto our fathers. So, and when they, the Jews, agreed not among themselves, they departed. Why? Departed means they were out of harmony.
No agreement. Yep. And
it's a subsifus. A subsifus. Go ahead.
Well, whether we understand it or not, these people that Paul had gathered there, in God's eyes, they represented Israel.
The whole nation.
The whole nation.
Yeah.
So there's a select group of Sanhedrin members there that if they give the thumbs up and believe, things are going to begin to happen for the nation of Israel. And if they give the thumbs down, then something else is, Isaiah 6 is going to happen, is what's going to happen.
So we know which
but
way
they have the responsibility. It's on them.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It's all yeah. about
it. It boils right down.
Yeah. All comes down to them.
To this, okay. And this word "assumptus" is only here in Acts. Literally, we're sent away. Appendix 174-11. The imperfect suggestions that the chief men of verse 17 was that they broke up the meeting and sent the rest away least they should be convinced. They were afraid that there would be a bunch of them that would.
They were going to lose their nation and their place.
Yeah.
If this happened.
Yeah. So they couldn't do that. They were convinced.
A few of them believed. The scripture records that. But
okay.
Not all of them. No harmony, as you said.
See, after that, what Paul had spoken one word in the Greek is rhema, Mark 9:32. Well, rightly spake the Holy Ghost by or through. Acts 104:5-1. Isaiah, the prophet, unto our or your father. This quotation is from Isaiah 6:9-10. And this is the third occasion of the quotation of these words. The others is Matthew 13:14-15 and John 12:40.
Third time.
Yeah.
Third time's a charm, as they say.
Yep. And so the next word is saying, but let's just keep that till the next study, because we're out of time and there's 4 or 5 more verses yet to go. But these are the great words of Isaiah, placing the judgment directly on the people.
Yeah, any time Isaiah 6 was quoted, it was crisis time for Israel. Yeah,
absolutely. So this is a good place to stop. We'll do 26 and 27, 28, 29, 30. We'll do that. We'll start off with that next time, and then I want to go ahead and pick up with some of the thoughts that we've had, and then go back to looking at some of the people that he's met. Now, we, at going through the book of Acts, we haven't had the names of a lot of the people that Paul had met. There's no way we can go back and find all this, but there's 2 years that he's going to be in his own hired house. He gets all this information down, I think, correctly as to what he is about to tell Israel here, and that it has a profound effect upon these people, especially to the Ephesians, that he said, "You'll see my face no more," but he didn't say you wouldn't hear from me. And so all of these things that have been written and added to these epistles that go back and are read in these places, whether it's Paul in person or whether it's Paul doing the work of Christ, it is still a show of faith that God had in the Apostle Paul and the work that he did. He was struck down on the Damascus Road. He was a sinner at that time. He didn't believe that Christ was who he said he was. Christ never said he was. He didn't say that anyway. But everybody else looked at it, or a lot of others looked at it, as well, yeah, that's what he came to do. And that's what kindly that Luke mentions early on in the book of Luke. Because the guy that was there, he said, Lord, let me see your salvation. And guess what? They showed him Christ, the baby Jesus.
See me. Yeah.
And that was their salvation.
Yep.
And he said, okay, I can go from here and take it, and I can be happy with that. And then the lady that was a virgin and died there, and she stayed in the temple all the time. She didn't ever leave the temple, evidently. Mm-hmm. And so she too understood that all this was this reason for the change or for the new covenant. Because when God said, I will make a new covenant, well, we start Matthew with a new covenant, with a new agreement between God and man. The old one didn't work because the Jews wouldn't accept it and didn't accept the way they thought their salvation should come.
No.
But nevertheless, this is the way that God intended for it to be. And although he had to change a lot of things down the way, that was because of Satan and his pile of junk, if you want to call it that. He tried to cover up everything that God did. Yeah. Where people couldn't come to the knowledge and understanding of all this mumbo jumbo that they were doing. Yeah. And so that's the real important aspect of this in my book, that it's you got to go back and begin to look at it again now, since you got the rest of the picture, or the rest of the story, basically, that Paul Harvey used to say that it was. So we'll do it that way and pick up, go on and see what we can come with that, because when I got started with this, I was beginning to wonder if I could ever make it to the end of it.